Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Violent faith to change your world. Violent faith that will change your world. Say amen. And people, I'm not joking, those of you who work for people that don't have a mind of taking somebody's business or taking somebody's whatever, just go your way. Don't go and take somebody's marriage. Somebody, you are working for somebody, then you take over. No, it's not a good thing. There's a curse in it. It's not a good thing. Violent faith that will change. And this violent faith is not the violence which is associated with guns and cutlasses and machetes and things. That's not the kind of violence I'm talking about. But this violence, I'm talking about aggressive, boisterous, abrasive, strong, unrelented, forceful faith. That kind of faith can change your world. Say amen. A weak faith, a wavering faith, no faith, small faith, it will do a little, but you can still be marking time when you have a wavering faith. The Bible said, if you ask, do not waver, because anybody who wavers is like the waves of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Such a person cannot receive anything from the Lord. The book of James. A wavering faith, a shaky faith, a doubting faith, a small faith, a weak faith doesn't change your world. But if you want a breakthrough, if you want your world, your situation to drastically change, then you must apply a certain aggressiveness to your faith. Strong faith. Say amen. Daring faith. The one that doesn't look back. The one that you don't hear anything. The one that goes for it. Because God is a faith God. What moves God is faith. When you apply faith, you trigger the Spirit of God. The Bible says, be ye therefore imitators of God. So to imitate God is to act in faith. And anytime faith is applied in anything, you move God into action. God is moved when faith is applied. God is challenged. It's like you have put him in a corner. He has no choice. He has to move. And you have stirred him up. Say, I hear you, my pastor. In the book of Mark chapter 2, 1 to 12, the Bible says something there. The Bible said, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through or broken down, if you look at that, me, I'm a raw King James. Put the real King James there. This new King James. Okay. When they had broken it up, then they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Next verse. When Jesus saw their faith, what kind of faith did Jesus see? Did he see a wavering faith?
No.
Did he see a weak faith?
No.
Did he see no faith? What he saw was a violent faith. Forceful. Aggressive. Go for it. Because when they brought the guy, they wanted to take the guy through the door. But the door was choked. They went through the window. The window was choked. People's back were against the window. I go. Young Panya Fai. I meet the Kukunami. The people who were at the door were busily listening to the word of God. The space between Jesus and the next person was like this. Everywhere. So the guys were holding, this guy was paralytic. They were holding, it is not possible. Let's take him back home. Then one of them said, our miracle is just here. We are just close to our breakthrough. But we cannot enter the door. The other one said, so what do we do? Let's take him back. Me, I'm tired of holding him. We've been here for hours. Then one guy looked up and said, what about the roof? The other guy said, hey. Somebody's house. The owner of the house himself is in the service. But then one of the guys said, Charlie, all die be die. Our brother is dying. The miracle is here. Let's break the roof. So, they say, yeah, you have a point there. Let's break the roof. So they took a ladder. They put the ladder on the wall. Then one person climbed the ladder. Then he held it. Then the other were pushing him. Push him. And they pushed him out, and then they got to the roof. Are you there? Then they got to the roof. When they got to the roof, then the Bible used the word, they broke the roof. So the landlord, but obviously the landlord was in the house. There's no way Jesus will be in that house and the owner of the house will not be in the house. So the owner was sitting in the house when he saw that somebody was violently removing his roof. So everybody automatically looked up. Then they saw that they were lowering somebody down. Somebody was being lowered with some cloth. When Jesus saw the violence, the abrasiveness, the aggressive, the strong faith, he didn't let the man land at all. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. So who can forgive sins apart from God? So they brought the guy. Jesus looked at him. He said, forgiveness of sins is just one part. Now see the real thing. Take up thy bed. Rise up and walk. Bible said, and immediately. And what? And immediately. It means, when the faith is violent, the result is what? Immediate. Instantaneous. Order. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy... Okay, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. Look at the next verse. And immediately he arose. He arose because the violent nature of the faith, such a way that, brother, he deserved that miracle. Ask somebody, how violent is your faith? How aggressive? Because there are some people who are just doing lapital or with whatever they are saying, that I want to go. Wavering. Take a step. Do it. Start it. Start a business. Show aggressiveness in your faith. God will have no choice than to honor your faith. Such faith excites God. It moves God. The Bible says, thy sins be forgiven thee. It means that sin might have caused the man to be paralytic. So Jesus removed the sin problem and gave way for the healing. I declare unto you today, I should show strong faith, aggressive faith. There's something you must do by faith. Take that step. And guess what? There is no BNI agent that will come and arrest you for showing strong faith. There's no police officer. I'm arresting you because you have shown strong faith and it didn't happen. Say, I hear you, my pastor. Sometimes we are afraid. A lot of ifs. What if it doesn't work? But what if it works? What if it works? Since you are a child of God, and you are a child of the Bible, says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So to please God, you must act in faith. Start the company. Start the house. Marry by faith. Take your green trousers and propose to the girl. By faith. The girl is pretty. The girl is tall. The girl is beautiful. But don't fear the height. Don't fear the hips. Just go. Close your eyes. And say, sister, I've been seeing you around this church. Something in me is telling me that you are my wife. Look, you can get a slap. And tell them, can I take your number? I want to call you tonight to further, show you a lot of things that... She may give you the number. She may not give you the number. She will do it in church. Huh? She will say, but stand there. Say, can I buy you meat pie? And Coca-Cola. Say, I hear you, my pastor. Do it. There is nothing easy for your world. This guy's world changed from being paralytic and now he's walking about. Because hitherto, they have to carry him to go and bath him. They have to help him to go and poo-poo. They have to help him. His world was static. But after that abrasive faith, now his world changed. He could walk with his brothers. He could play football. He could travel. He could do things. His world changed because of violent faith. May your world change because of violent faith. There's a scripture in the book of Luke chapter 8, verse 40. The Bible said something. Luke 8, 40. Put it there. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him and they were all waiting for him. Then the Bible said, behold, there came a man named Jairus and was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. That was it. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. The people what? Thronged him. It means they mobbed him. The crowd was thick. There was no space. Look at the next verse. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of blood stanched. Say amen. Next verse. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee and sayest thou, who touched me? In other words, then church, who has become too much? You are Savior, we know. We are all trying to get a piece of you. And we are trying to do our protocol duties. But can we control everything? We can't control everything because the people thronged him. Peter was like, Charlie, give space. But this woman, who also saw, decided to despise all her shame, her weaknesses, because for bleeding for 12 years, you're already weak, anemic, smelling, lost all your money, spent all her money. She could have said, there goes one of the prophets again. She could have said, I'm tired of all these prophets and all these people. Let me just die here. But she got herself out of the house, move in the crowd, push people. I go, let me ask aloud. Moved, passed through people's armpits, went through people's legs, whatever. But at the point, she couldn't face Jesus to tell Jesus the problem, but saw the garment, reached out and touched the garment. The Bible said, and immediately, anytime strong faith is displayed, you see the answer immediately. God was moved. Jesus said, who touched me? Peter turned around. Hey! Munya, be careful. Munya, be careful. Say amen. Then Jesus said, someone has touched me in faith, for I feel virtue has left me. People are touching. People are coming to church. But brother, you must come to church in faith. It's not a place of fashion, a place of whatever. We are not coming to my register here. We are coming here believing that God will do what he has said in his word that he will do. Believe in God. As you are seated here, believe God. You didn't come just to satisfy your religious conscience Sunday, so let's go to church. No, there is something that you want God to do for you. There is a miracle you are expecting. Some are expecting children. Some are expecting a breakthrough. Some are expecting marriage. Everybody here has something he is trusting and believing God for. So when we come to church, we are trusting God. They say, we stand, worship, we worship. They say, move, you move. Say amen. He said, take 3 steps forward and say that, Lord, I believe that in the next 3 days, I will receive a miracle. Brother, don't say, we have been doing those things for a very long time. When you say that, you weaken your faith position. When you say that, you have familiarized yourself with God. When you say that, you have a wavering faith. That is why there are some people who have been in church for Kujuhoho. They are still there. Others are coming. New people are getting married. Old people are observing. Who is the next? They say, shall we call sister so and so? Meanwhile, when a brother comes to you and say, God is speaking to me. Which God? Go back to that God. You see, when a true miracle is coming your way, it will not announce itself. It may come in disguise. Not everything that glitters is gold. Sometimes people emerge, they grow. If you look at our pictures in the 80s and 70s, we don't look like the way we are looking today. We looked unmarriable. We were sacked. If I was worthy,
Will I be sacked from my father-in-law's house? Yeah, I didn't look prosperous. My briefcase was wooden. I had topio joe. I had beard. Say, go. But time. My sister, this is your time. I want it this way. And if it's not this way, then I don't want it.
Hallelujah.
The woman came trembling, fell down, and told Jesus the story I've just told you. Then Jesus said, "Woman, rise up, go. Thy faith has made thee whole." What kind of faith? Thy violent faith, thy aggressive faith, your strong faith. If she has stayed in the house and just flip with her thought, that is why you see we are doing fasting, we are praying. People are here, people are coming every day. Some are, you know, they say we are fasting, prayers. I am on bomb. Some are watching on their phone. Some are whatever. There are some things you can never get on phone. When we are laying hands and there are things happening, it's not on phone. You have to move. Take truck, take taxi, take Uber. Get down, walk. When Jesus sees your faith, not when you are at home and we are having prayers. I want to go, but I don't know what is happening, but the spirit is willing. But there's tiredness. Everybody feels tired when we are coming to prayer and fasting. Everybody feels tired. We, the pastors, we are tired. Sometimes we come to work, go home, and come back. By the time we are coming back, we are asleep in the car. That's why I don't like driving, because every time we see me dozing in the car. Tiredness. But I'll come. And when I come, I don't sit and listen as a pastor. I listen as a child. I applied a childlike faith. When the preachers are preaching, I'm standing. When the preachers are preaching, I am here. I'm sitting down. I'm standing. When they call for a seat, I'm at the altar. I'm kneeling down. I'm sowing the seed. Because I don't want to be familiar with God. And think that, well, my breakthrough is already automatic. It's not automatic. I have to apply the principles of faith to receive the breakthrough. I have to apply the principles. I have to do what they do for the breakthrough. So if the preacher says, "Stand, lift your hands, put your hands on your two heads," I don't say, "Well, we are the overseers." No. Any preacher who can't see it, lift your hands, put them on your head. You see my two hands on my head? Shake your head. You see me shaking. Say this after me. I'm saying it after him. Because I need a breakthrough. Anybody needs something? And don't pretend you don't need anything. Say, "Well, all those things, I know that it's just a matter of time. I'll get them." You may not. Because there are some things, they just don't come to you. You have to go for it. You have to battle it. It will surprise you that there are people in this house who are church members. All these 21 days, they haven't even heard. They haven't even done one fasting book. Let alone to even come around and pray. Say amen. You are listening to Shatawale's song and Stone Boy. Say amen. My brother, I don't know about you. I don't know whether you still want to remain in your old world. But I want my world to change. I want things to turn around. I want to move to the next level of my life. Say, "I hear you, Pastor." Say, "I hear you, Pastor." The Bible says something in the book of Esther. I want to conclude. When there was battle about the extinction of the Jews from Shushan, Mordecai sent a message to Esther and said, look, in Esther 4:14, he says something. He said, for if all thou together holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? In other words, you have been strategically positioned in the king's palace for a reason. So you cannot hold your peace. You are there for a reason. Risk. Move. Do something. And according to their laws, brother, if you appear before the king without an invitation, there is only one law. You'll be executed except the king holds the golden scepter for you. The next verse says something. The next verse, 15. The next verse is what? He said, then Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer. He said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go into the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, it's called violent faith. If I perish, it means I am going with one-way ticket. I am going abrasively. It means I am going to take my time and fast, and I'm going to move into the king's presence. And she said, if I die, I die. I'm risking my faith. Shabbat. Say amen. There are people who are very, very, very careful. Too careful. You become what? A careful failure. Move! Tell somebody, move! Do it! Take the risk! Burn the bridge behind you. Set the bridge on fire. I'm not coming back. Have you seen those people who travel abroad from Brong halfway and all those places? From all these places, they are going abroad. Then they come, they go to, then they give them the visa. When they give them the visa, when they come out of the visa, they kneel down. Hey, ready that visa. And then they buy the ticket. Then they sit in the plate. When they sit in the plate, when they are serving the food, they don't want to even eat the food. Hey, now, we must share the. They thought they were selling the food in the plate. They hasn't traveled before. Some of all these people who come from these Volta region areas who don't know what they have traveled before. And then he goes through the plane lands. He comes out of the plane. He goes through immigration. What are you coming here for? I'm coming for holiday. Do you have a brother? Whatever. All right. Bah. Entry. Then he enters. Once he takes his baggage, custom doesn't stop him. He comes out. He sees his brother coming to pick him at the airport. He embraces the brother. He breaks down in tears. He says, Ekro mama bahedi. And guess what? Those kind of people, they succeed. Because the kind of faith they enter the country with. They wash dead bodies. They wash plates. They wash gutters. They wash everything. They do any donkey job. They pack fruit. They save money. Before you realize, after 10, 15 years, the guy has built a mansion in his village. Standing beside some flowers with a coat, taking pictures. Send it to his family. Kwekuni, you are Amsterdam. Most of those guys, let me tell you, I was surprised. Most of those guys, they don't speak English. They live in an English country, they don't speak English. They go to tree service in England. They go to tree service in England. finished. They are working. They are scrapping. They are packing fruits. And they build and they buy cars and ship. They make it. So if you are sitting down, well, won't see if I go, well, you'll be sitting down doing well, and people will bypass you and begin breaking through because you have a fearful faith. You have a wavering faith. You have a weak faith. You have no faith. Jesus said, why do you doubt? And why is it that ye have no faith? Wavering faith. Fearful faith. A violent faith says that I am going. If I die, I die. Say amen. Do you want to start a project? Do you want to start a company? Do you want to build a factory? What do you want to do? Go for it. Start it. God only moves when you move. People say, I am waiting on God. God is also waiting on you. Will God come and take a shovel and a pickaxe and break your grounds for you to start your building? You have to move to the ground and break it. And call one of the pastors to come clear the bushes. Start the house. Start your company. Start the factory. After you have sung this song, what do you do next? You move. Move. Do what? Move. The next 6 months left, I want you to show aggressiveness in your faith. The next 6 months left, register the company, marry, start the house, move to your new place, move to the uncompleted house. You can't finish the house before you move in. Whilst you are in it, you finish. God is excited when you move by faith. After singing, move. Me, I like taking risks. Do things by faith. When I take a phone, I call Stan and say, we are doing this. Say, hey, we are following you. I call it. Say, Stanley, say, I want to do this. Hey, we are following you. My twin brother never tells me, are you sure? I don't think so. He never tells me, I don't think so. Not once. Not once. I just said, what you say you are going to do? No, I mean, I don't think you should do it too. No. He said, is that so? I'm with you. Tell me, what you do? Which role do you think I should play? It's okay, do this for me. Do this. Okay. We are following you. Say amen. You know, the Lord put it on our hearts that we should build a disability village. A place, a home for disabled people. On 1,000-acre land.
spoke to. The first person I normally call is Stanley. He said, I want to be. He said, hey, let's build it. So they're talking about it. Got some teams together. Somebody heard it. Called me. I hear they say you want to build a village. I say, yeah. Really? Tell me what you want to do in that village. So we want to build these schools, hospital, home for the aged. See, all these children who are disabled sleeping on the cardboard. We are going to remove all of them. Put them in a decent accommodation. A beautiful place for them to live. You know what the guy told me? My company will put $50 million into your village. The guy said, show me how you are going to use the $50 million. I put my team together. I said, show how we are going to use the $50 million. My guys put up all I thank God for my architects, engineers, planners, they put all together. This guy, he called me and said, I am coming with 8 businessmen from Australia, Brazil, and Switzerland. We are coming for the launch on the 14th of July. He said, Reverend, convince us about this village. We are taking over. Yeah. Yeah. You will see them here. They will come and sit down like this. And my team will show on the, there will be a giant screen here. You see the village. You see clinics, hospital. They will have a CEM Ability Village. You see CEM Ability TV, CEM Ability Hospital, CEM, it's all over. We have taken a step. God is moving. Tell somebody, you to take a step. God will move. Me, I haven't seen them. The last time, one of my daughters, who is a lawyer, is the one checking the land, everything. They said the land, the 1,000 acres land, is 2.5 miles here, 2.5 miles there. They say it will cost $6 million. Me, do I look at someone who has $6 million? When the chiefs came here, we had a conference room. He said, Reverend, when we calculated everything, the land will cost $6 million. I said, hey, we are paying for it. I don't have koto. Faith. Someone said, hey! Chief, we are sorry. No, I said, we are paying for it. I believe, I have faith, that when these investors come and they see the presentation, they will pay for it. There are people who have billions sitting down. The wealth of the wicked shall be transferred. Shall be transferred into the lot of the righteous. There is some people who are billions. We are about to inherit it. To build a home for the homeless. The cost is just. It's God. It is scripture. When I was a stranger, he took me in. They said they want an office space. Oh, we've given them an office here. They want movement. They want movement. They want a car so that they can be moving. I have a car I bought for my daughter. My daughter is living in Washington. I say, honey, are you coming or you're not coming? I don't come. He said, I don't know whether. I said, okay, the car that is sitting there, we are giving the car to the Ability Village. I'm donating the car to the village. My daughter said, okay, buy me another one in the U.S. I said, I'll buy you another one when I get the money. I'm moving. My brother, move. Move. Start the school. Start the nursery. Start the project. Start the marriage. Marry this year. There's 6 months left to marry in it. Court for 3 months and use the 3 months to plan the marriage. We have 1,000 marriage, whatever. Nobody wants to marry with 1,000. 1,000. Marry.
I met a sister. I said, sister, I've been seeing you with this guy. Why are you not married? So, Reverend, we are believing God for final. I said, go for the 1,000. The girl said, ah. Then the guy said, Reverend, that's my problem. I want to do the 1,000. But she said, no. Girls, go home. The 1,000 is good. Then you're going to do a big reception somewhere. You see? Marry for 1,000 and do a big reception somewhere. So that you don't spend money on all these things. Do something. I said, next year is our year of projects. We are building our... We bought 17 acres we at the Breeland. You see, next week they are clear. They are clearing the place next week. Because the day of help, convocation, we are going to pay up to maybe up to about 400,000 because of the numbers. We feel that we should clear our land and start something. We are starting something there. We are building a big shed. There is Adontin Secondary. There is a bridge. We will sleep all over and build a big shed. Two nice toilets. We will begin. So that we just go there, who ya, before we realize we are building it. As there are some people here who are going to become millionaires in this church, who build up the places. See yourself prospering and writing a check of $1 million. It's possible. Pastor Stanley moved the team, their office, to go and inspect the land. I was in Africa when he moved the team there. They saw it. They've got a DR. What's the name of the machine? D9. There's a machine called D9. They are moving the machine there to clear the whole place. The place, you know how the Breelands are. They are like this. So my people were saying that, why is it that our land is like this? He said, look at all the lands here. Everyone is like that. The D9 will do all the work for you. We'll level it. We'll do it. Because 10 years from now, how would the convocation be? It will be too big. So we are building an auditorium bigger than where we go. Yeah, we are building it. Then we are waiting to start our vision 2020. Our new auditorium, bigger space, 4,000 car park. We are doing this. That is why you can't be poor in this house. I command you to be blessed. It's our year of projects. And we are doing it. And you see monies coming into your account. 250 of my members have become millionaires in this house. And there shall be 5 billionaires. And I'm one of them. You should say you are one of them. If you don't become a billionaire, nobody will arrest you. A 70-year-old billionaire. You'll be there now, you receive a letter from Holland that some billionaire B has transferred his wealth into your account. You see lawyers arriving, asking to sign the documents. Then you ask them, how much have I earned? Say, 20 million euros. Remember me, I prophesied it. So 1 million people has come into my pocket. 10%. 10% of 20 million is how much? 2 million. Remember, I may be speaking something. 2 million belongs to me. I give 500,000 to my wife. And I keep the 1.5. I give 500,000 to Stanley. Then I keep one. And give some to Keto and Co. I don't want to be greedy. I give small to all my guys. So when I'm chopping my money, I don't feel guilty. It's going to happen. Somebody is going to receive a phone call. Somebody is going to receive a transfer. Some rich guy, people will transfer money into your account without you knowing. It's Bible. So we can do projects. Next year is our year of projects. Projects everywhere. We are building Ability Village. We are building convocation center. We are building Vision 2020. And they come around and see, I do big. My friend, the Ward Mills, the projects he has. When you see him walking, you can't believe that God is using a man like that. He's got buildings everywhere. He's got projects everywhere. And you know, he's my best friend. I went to lunch with him. I said, I tap into the grace God has given to you. As I'm eating lunch with you, I'm tapping into the grace. I took small offering and I gave it to him. I said, we are tapping into this grace of building without struggle. And I'm looking forward to this year. He's been traveling. I'm looking forward to it so that we sow another seed in his life. When you see something good in somebody, you tap into it with a seed. You don't criticize, you don't envy. What do? You tap into it with a seed. You don't say, whatever he's doing, we can also do it. No, you don't compete. Don't competition. You go, you sow a seed, you tap into it. You kneel down, they pray for you so that there's transfer of grace. Say amen. This year, everybody say this year. The next 6 months is my year of action. It's my year of strong faith. Not wavering faith, but abrasive, aggressive, violent faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 2676760 55, +233 2676760 55, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.